10:30 Pacific time, but it's starting a little late because some members are not here. But we waited for about half hour, but we're going to start here officially and take the roll call. Paul, would you take the roll call?
Okay. Grace Aaron? Answer up if you hear your name. Grace Aaron? Lydia Brazon?
Here.
Jim Brown?
Here.
Van Jamont?
Present.
Joseph Kay? Bajra Kilgour?
Present.
Tracy Larkin? Bob Letterer?
Here.
R. Paul Martin? Present. Darv Rundawa?
Here.
Thomas Ruffin? Wendy Schroll? Deb Shafto? Phoebe Ann Sorgan? Dan Woods? And that's it. And we have 7, and a quorum is 8.
Thank you. Since we do not have a quorum, the rest of the meeting, not official meeting, however, we have our council, foundation council. He has drafted a confidentiality agreement, and I invited him to come and ask if our committee would ask him some questions on the agreement. And so since it's not an official meeting, only those members who are here, they can ask if they have any questions. And our official meeting would start next time, I guess. So with that, this confidentiality agreement was sent to all members of the governance committee and was drafted by at the request of our executive director. And it was sent from the Pacifica National Board to the governance committee and with assistance from the legal counsel. This is the document that our legal counsel has presented us to present to the governance committee so that we could look it over and pass it on to the Pacifica National Board. So with that, I think Dan Siegel, who's our foundation counsel, Dan, could you highlight some of the elements in that confidentiality agreement? And if people have any questions, they can ask later. Thanks.
Sure. Thank you, Sarv. Let me give a little bit of background because this may not be clear to everyone. Members of the National Board, the local station board, and other committees, such as the committee that is meeting right now, have an obligation under the law to maintain the confidentiality of certain information. And let me be clear. There's information which is inherently confidential, and there's information which becomes at least temporarily confidential because it is conveyed during a confidential meeting. And I'll address both of those categories in a minute. But the obligation to maintain confidentiality exists regardless of any statement or policy. However, we have experienced, since I've been with the foundation, which is now a little bit more than a year, at least 2 incidents of people disclosing information which was shared in closed session. And in at least one case, the person who did that publicly argued that she had a right to do so because of her view of the public's right to know what takes place at Pacifica. In looking at this issue, I discovered that the KPFA LSB has been using a written confidentiality statement for some time. And so the question arose in my mind, and I'm sure in the minds of other staff and board members, as to whether we should have a uniform national policy that would require members who participate in confidential meetings to sign a form which both serves to acknowledge their existing obligation and to acknowledge the fact that people who violate the obligation could be subject to penalties. Again, none of this makes any new rules. It's simply a way of reinforcing the rules that already exist for the purpose of trying to convince people to obey them. So I've drafted a form based on some of the forms that have been in circulation, just trying to make the language clear. The form indicates that there's certain kinds of information which is inherently confidential and that it's protected by law. That has to do with the four categories of personnel information, information regarding litigation, information regarding pending real estate transactions, and other types of financial information which may be shared in a confidential way. And I want to emphasize, because people have raised questions, that it is certainly not the purpose of using this form or creating a policy to in any way enlarge either the policy or the practice of the foundation in discussing matters in closed session. I think as an organization, the foundation has a very strong preference towards transparency and openness, and I believe that it's the obligation of every board member, as well as staff such as myself, if we happen to be in a closed meeting and something is being discussed which should not be discussed in a closed meeting, to raise it as a point of order or an objection in order to not create a situation where any of us are abusing the closed meeting privilege to avoid making things public that should be. But having said that, the form was drafted to indicate the areas that I've just mentioned, as well as the final area, which is anything that's discussed in closed session. Because things may come up in closed session, and if they are, and if a decision is made on them, it has to be clear that the right and the obligation, indeed, to report these matters out of closed session to make them public lies with the body, not with an individual. In other words, a decision might be made in closed session, for example, to offer a contract to someone to be a executive director or general manager. And that's an action which should be made public. But individuals should not take it upon themselves to make it public. Rather, there should be an orderly discussion within the body, whatever it is that's having the closed session, and an instruction usually to the chair to make the matter public at the earliest possible time. As everyone knows, we often have open meetings of the foundation right after closed session, and that would be the appropriate time to make public decisions that occur in closed session. And then finally, the form simply includes an acknowledgement that people who violate the policy, one, can be brought up on charges within Pacifica and expelled from the board on which they sit for violating the policy. And number two, there's also potential liability in the event that someone does make a confidential matter, for example, regarding a personnel issue public, that not only might Pacifica be sued in that circumstance, but also the individual might be sued. And that's basically the point of the form.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions?
This is Lydia.
Yes, Lydia.
On points like number four, financial information regarding the Pacifica Foundation, I understand it, given the opening sentence, that it's only specific. There are only certain things that you may be referring to, not in general, that we can't have financial information. But for purposes of clarity, can we have some language that says information deemed confidential or whatever? And in other words, it isn't all financial information, to be sure. And I'm not sure that when we present this is that clear.
Well, I think that's a good point. I think someone else, at least Barb, has raised that. I mean, we might just want to add a couple of words there that financial information that is presented confidentially or something like that. I mean, it's in a sense circular, but it might be useful to add a couple of words like that in order to make it clear to people that we're not talking about all financial information.
Right. It's not that I think that the opening sentence is clear to me, but I think it doesn't hurt to restate it.
Sure.
Anyone else?
Yeah, Arpaul.
Arpaul, go ahead.
Yeah. I guess this would come under the heading of redundancy of sources or something. Sometimes stuff is brought up in some places that people, you know, find is very new information. And sometimes that information has been drifting around the halls of some radio station for months or longer. What is the thing then? Because you know, you can. It's kind of silly to say, well, X thing is you know, is brought up in an executive session, and so it's now confidential. But everybody's been talking about this in the halls for the past 6 weeks or 6 months or something. And you know, I mean, so I don't know. I guess the thing is, neither this forum nor a meeting nor any body can really render confidential something that is kind of well known already, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, just to extend that a little bit, it's not necessarily facts that are confidential, right? I mean, an example might be, we may all know, because it's public, that there's a lawsuit filed by a certain person against Pacifica. That is never a confidential fact. That is a matter of public record. But what becomes confidential is the conversation about that lawsuit that occurs in an executive session, where, for example, an attorney may brief the board on the facts of the case. The attorney may indicate how she or he evaluates the case. There may be a discussion of whether to settle the case, and if so, how much to offer. Those are the confidential facts, not the fact of the lawsuit. We have a situation now where it's pretty publicly known that the executive director has announced his plans. At the same time, there's discussion of that occurs in closed session as to how the board is going to respond and what decisions the board is going to make. It's the board's discussion that's confidential, not the information that may be widely known outside the board meeting.
Arpaul, does that address your concern?
Yeah, I guess so. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else?
This is Bob.
Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I'm reading this language over and over again, and I guess my question is similar to what Lydia raised earlier, which is there seems to be a potential for reading this to imply, even though I fully understand, Dan, that you're not intending this, but to imply that entire categories of information could be deemed confidential, like information concerning employees. I mean, there's some employee information that's completely legal to make public, like what someone's job title is, or even, I believe, whether they're full-time or part-time. So that's just one small example. I think in several of these categories, 1 through 5, there are clearly pieces of information that are completely public, but that somebody in the future on a board or conceivably in management could want to use this agreement to say, well, you know, that was really a confidential piece of information and you shouldn't have been talking about it. So I don't know what the exact fix is, but something to make it clear that there has to be a proper process for determining that something's confidential before a board member is held accountable for disclosing it. Do you understand what I'm saying, Dan? Does that make any sense?
Oh, yes. I mean, I think you're exactly right, and to some extent your concern is like ARPOD, and you know, perhaps I can look at the language. I mean, again, things don't become confidential simply because they're discussed, but what we want to make clear is that information which is conveyed in a confidential context I mean, that's really what we're talking about here. So if and that, you know, it's tempting to try to limit that to information which has been shared in a closed session, but that wouldn't really include everything. I mean, we might have a situation, for example, where board members are reviewing someone's personnel file as part of the job of the personnel committee, or there might be a conversation with me about a lawsuit that we're currently involved in, and I might be, say, talking with you, Bob, you know, sharing some ideas and asking for your ideas about a tactic in the lawsuit. So it's not simply information that's discussed in closed session, but it's information discussed in closed session or in another context where the confidentiality of the information is made apparent. And maybe I could just, you know, add some language that makes that clear to avoid confusion.
Yeah, that sounds like that might help. Something like what you just said, in, you know, in a written form.
Okay.
All right. Anyone else? Hello? Is anybody muted there? Or? No other questions? Right. No other questions. Dan, could you be kind enough to make some of these revisions and just send them to us again?
Sure, I'll be happy to.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for coming, and thank you for your patience for staying with us.
No problem.
Okay, good night.
Okay, all talk right. to you all soon.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Okay, so bye-bye. So our... Since we do not have an official meeting here, we have we can discuss some of the things we are undertaking here. One is a code of conduct, and the other is bylaws working group. And we have the chair conveners of both of those groups here. And for code of conduct, it's Grace Aaron. Grace, can you spend a couple of minutes here? Tell us what's going on there.
Aaron isn't on the call.
No, she's not on the call. That's why.
Oh, Grace is not on the call?
No.
Okay. How about code of conduct? Paul, could you give us some idea what's
actually,
going on there?
Actually, it's bylaws, what I have.
Oh, bylaws. Yeah.
Bylaws. Okay. All right. Hold on one second. Okay. We tried to have the meeting on, when was it? The other, on the 8th. On May 8th, we set the meeting, sort of. Some people replied that, yes, they could make the meeting, and so we set it. And unfortunately, only two of us were able to attend. And what we did was, it was Phoebe Ann Sorgan and myself, and we just discussed a little bit of stuff, and... from what she was saying, you know, she was very unfamiliar with these things because she hasn't been at it before. So we figured the good thing to do would be for me to dig up stuff we've done in the past and post that to the list so that everybody will get a look at it, and then we can set the next bylaws working group meeting, and people will be able to read stuff ahead of time and see what's been done, see what the current state of some things is, because we already have... we've passed a motion in this committee that we will take, instead of taking every suggestion for a bylaws amendment immediately to the PNB, we're sort of going to put them aside, and when we get sort of a critical mass of bylaws amendments, we're going to send all of that to the PNB. And so that's one of the things. We have, I think, one thing that we've agreed to as an amendment, a proposed amendment to the PNB for the bylaws that we have just, you know, sitting there in the hopper waiting for some others to join it, and we'll give that to the PNB. So I'm going to just put up on the list that stuff or links to that stuff, and that'll, I hope, get everybody up to speed. And my plan is after this meeting to again ask on the list when people can make the next, make another meeting for the bylaws working group. And that's it.
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Yes, unfortunately, I'm going to have to resign the bylaws working group that'll help you make quorum, but I have taken on yet a sixth committee responsibility on the PNB and the full committee, so I'm unfortunately going to have to step off, and I'll send an email to that effect.
All right. On the quota, any questions for bylaws working group? If none, quota conduct committee working group, I am on that. Bob Lederer is on that committee. Deb Shafto is on that committee. And Grace Aaron is on that committee. And Bob was there. Bob, is there a possibility you can shed a little light on that code of conduct?
Sure. Yeah, we've just begun to examine a lot of draft documents that have been circulated over the past, you know, many months that have different styles and different what they cover and different procedures. And we're beginning to come up with some recommendations, but we're only at a very early stage. And so we're going to keep working on it. We've had two meetings so far, and we have a third one. Star, maybe you can remember. I forget offhand. I think in a couple of weeks, something like that.
We also are waiting for a code of conduct document, KPFP Houston, because Deb Shafto said that code of conduct document is working real well there in Houston, and so I thought it would be a good idea if we have a copy of that and see if we can incorporate some of the good ideas from there as we go there developing this new draft code of conduct. Anyway, so with that, I think since we don't have official meeting going on here, I don't see personally a whole lot of reason to be here any longer, and I'm willing to entertain the thoughts from the body here, the other members.
This is Lydia. Yes, I agree that we've done about all that we can do in terms of discussion, and since we can't make any decisions, I think we should adjourn.
Thank you very much. Thank you, R. Paul. And then we'll wait for the next meeting. This already, have we picked a date for that yet?
Yes. Third Thursday of every month, yeah.
Third Thursday of every month. So I'll send the revised agenda, and then we'll proceed in an official manner, and hopefully we'll have a quorum.
R?
Yes.
This is Jim.
Yes,
I
Jim.
I think you saw at one point that code of conduct on their website. So it's something that we could probably look at and print out.
Okay.
Can I clarify that actually? Deb informed us that is not the most recent version. It's been amended.
Okay.
So that's why she's got to dig it up from her, you know, files.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Anybody else has anything else? If nothing, the meeting is adjourned, and we'll meet the next meeting on that next day. Thank you. Good night. Thank you, John.
Good night.